Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner.
Ooh, happy anniversary, girl!
It is our 2-year anniversary.
And so it's just gonna be us just singing and dancing.
It's just for an hour.
Dance variety show.
Get your sweatpants on because y'all are gonna move.
Ooh, yes. Is Michelle Obama here?
She's here.
Get out and move.
Get on and move.
Special guest Michelle Obama here for the 2-year anniversary. Could you believe it? Well, hold on tight. We could be telling the truth. You don't know. You have to wait till the very, very end of the episode.
For what?
For Michelle Obama.
Oh, I didn't know if we were lying about her 2-year anniversary or if Michelle Obama was a lie.
Who knows what the lies are this year? Who knows?
Well,
but what are you doing?
I'm doing a revisit onto Juneteenth, which was last Monday.
Good.
So I feel like we need to talk about it.
This is great. I actually was going to either say happy Juneteenth, but I said happy anniversary. Our anniversary is going to trump Juneteenth just a little bit.
Because everybody knows about our anniversary, whereas the slaves of Texas did not know about emancipation, therefore Juneteenth.
Well, there we go. Educating it along there. Well, not only is June about Juneteenth around this time of year, it is also continuing on our 3-week celebration of Pride.
Pride celebration! Mm-mm,
despite what the White House says. We're going to talk about the flag. We are going to talk about the Pride flag.
She's a grand old flag.
Gay. So we're talking about that queer old rainbow flag. What is it? What's the history? And what's the latest controversy around it?
Ooh.
Why are people upset? So we're going to dive all into that.
I am ready. And aren't we going to cover some hot ass topics too?
Yes. There's so many subjects that we have not talked about. So we're doing, for our 2-year anniversary, we are giving you the topics that are so sizzling hot.
Hot. Too hot to touch.
Too hot to touch, but we're going to touch them, y'all. Mm-hmm. So get out your oven mitts
and
stick your hand into the oven.
And pull us out.
Pull us out the dish of Minority Corner Year 2 Anniversary Special.
Ooh, and let's go.
It's hot.
It is hot.
Are you hot, Becca?
I am hot over here in California. Is it hot over there in New York, James?
Well, girl, I am reporting live weatherman James here on the scene. I've got precipitation on my nips and my underpits.
So you're just sweating.
Fingertips.
You're just sweating.
Yes,
all
that's
over
exactly. That's what it's happening. That's what the kids are calling it. Listen, I didn't go to meteorology school. It's hot. It's so fucking hot.
And it is hot over here in California. It makes no goddamn sense how hot it is. Everybody's melting. Nobody knows how to deal with anything.
No. Whew. Are they busting the fire hydrants open over there?
No, we don't do that over here in California. Our water is precious over here.
I know. I'm trying to teach them, but no one wants to read my pamphlets about save the water.
Because we come from the land of 2 steps away from Mad Max.
Drought is a real thing. 1992 is my first drought. I realized it was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was telling me that it's going to be like 117 in Arizona.
Jesus Christ.
That's not normal. This is not normal. So speaking of things that are not normal, let's talk about politics.
Okay, politics, man.
We haven't talked about our little politics in a little bit. So did you watch the James Comey thing happened like a week ago.
Right.
FBI Director James Comey
testified
about the shenanigans of the White House. It was like White House and Russia, right? And so it's bananas to me because like I was watching House of Cards and I can't tell what's House of Cards and what's real life anymore.
I feel like House of Cards is probably more legit now than real life.
You know, and you know, it used to be a lot of fun. Absolutely. And you know, Robin Wright, she said that because she's a producer on the show now.
Yeah.
As well as just amazing, bomb-ass actress Nista. She's tearing up on the show.
I know, she is. the best.
But she said that they ran out of ideas for next year because the White House, the current real life White House, is already doing what they were planning on doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's so stupid. I mean, recently I just heard that Trump appointed his son's wedding planner. She's a black lady.
Okay, that's
care. Black lady, you don't get no pass.
We got Omarosa and the wedding planner. It almost like it's like they're casting a TV show. It like almost it just is. Doesn't even seem real, right?
It James, my fingers are too damn sweaty. I can't even open up my Apple Touch.
She can't even correct and see if this is true or not.
It is true.
So with all of the shenanigans and this craziness that was happening, first of all, also, mm-hmm. like, a lot of people are like, ooh, yay, Comey. Can we also, before we go, put this man on a pedestal?
He
fucked up the election. What was it, 3 days before the election? He was like, we're reinvestigating Hillary Clinton's emails.
He straight
fuck
up was
off
like,
on her emails.
He was like, hey, y'all, remember them emails? And then ruined that shit.
Yeah, he did. He was like, I'm thinking about her emails. Mm-mm. Are you all? And then he was like, afterwards, like, oh, we didn't find nothing. I just was thinking about it, and I wanted to tell y'all.
Couldn't you think later? You dumb.
Because that moment is, I mean, I feel like if that mm-mm. wouldn't have happened, I think, as there's so many shenanigans that were happening with this election.
The whole thing is a mess. Oh, yeah. I got the correction. So Trump hires wedding planner to oversee housing program. Yep, it's the truth.
Oh, see? And do you see a picture of a black woman there?
She's giving a thumbs up. Like, she fucking knows that she made her deal.
She made it. All right. Well, there it is. Yeah. But my mom was saying something that was really, really poignant.
What was that?
And she touched on something that I was already thinking, because it's such a shit show and it's such a circus.
Right.
And it's almost like every week you're like, it's almost like a drama. It's like a soap opera. It's like, what's going to happen this week in the White House, right?
Yeah.
And my mom is saying, she's like, this is all a purposeful distraction. She says that they're, like, because if you really think about it, like, if we really know anything about politics, and this is not just me being a conspiracist, it's mm-hmm. the dead honest truth, is that the mm-hmm. politicians don't hold the real power. It's the people it's all the people with, like, the billions and millions of dollars who put them into office, who are these business owners and whatnot. Right. And I just can't even imagine, like, what crazy-ass legislation is probably being passed, or crazy things that are happening behind the scenes that we don't even see because we're so distracted.
I mean, I could tell you right now. Well, one of the distractions that's been going on during the Comey trials, and then also, who's that evil elf? The fucking...
Oh, Jeff Sessions?
Yeah, Jeff Sessions. During those trials...
Evil Keebler elf Jeff Sessions.
The worst man
Top
ever.
Goblin Jeff Sessions.
The Senate was figuring out a way to pass... to get rid of Obama's health care. That's the distraction. Oh, that's one of the distractions that's going on.
And I think that there's, like, probably even more. Like, I think there's probably even more connected to, like, the oil industry.
For sure.
Anybody who stands to hold on to their millions is in some back room, shaking some hands, mm-hmm. making some crazy, dirty deals. And we're all worrying about the tweets.
Right, exactly. It's so stupid. It's like... this is why I feel like, and I feel like a broken record bringing it up again, but side-eyeing your heroes, even side-eyeing your anti-heroes, you just gotta look at all the angles. Like, if you take everything for face value, you are missing a ton of shit. Like, mm-hmm. if something's happening that feels kind of fishy, then go with that instinct and try and figure out what is being hidden, what is actually going down, what are the backroom deals, who is signing who, why is someone buying something. Like, for example, Amazon just bought the Washington Post and then also bought Whole Foods. What the fuck is Amazon going to do with those things now? So
what you doing with all that food, Amazon? Are you delivering it to my house? Because if so, we will do a commercial. Even though we'll side-eye you.
James, you are not agreeing.
Oh, okay. I mean, no.
You literally took my point and just flipped it and was like.
It was a free food.
You're like, do you want to do a commercial?
Commercial. I'm Charlie's angelsing it, as you know I like to do. Mm-hmm. I'm going undercover and getting some free food while I'm at it. So that's the big plan. Shh, don't tell them. But I see what you're saying. Because you were also Trevor Noah just recently did the Daily Show did a museum of Trump's tweets.
Right. Yes.
And I don't know how everybody felt. I tried to go to it yesterday, but there was like a huge ass line. I was like, I'm not waiting in line to go with all these fucking tweets.
Everybody fucking just wants to do everything. Like,
Right? Like, oh my God, get out of here.
I know.
And you know what? All this, like, and all of this stuff has, it's taken over the airways, and I don't even really look at, like, the mainstream news and media entertainment news channels, but it's like, I've barely been even, like, the Cosby trial.
The mistrial bullshit.
The mistrial fucking Cosby. Shit. It's weird, because I would have thought this would have been the trial of the century, but it got, how did you bump Bill Cosby's trial for Trump mania? How did that happen?
I don't even know, because everybody, you know what? The whole thing is just like, our world is in disarray right now. Our judicial system, I'm glad you brought up the Cosby mistrial, because it was almost a back-to-back jury's fucking up. First of all, they give Cosby a mistrial when he so clearly, obviously did that shit. And then two, we got Phil Lando Castillo, the officer who killed him on a Facebook live stream in front of his girlfriend and 4-year-old daughter in a car, got off. Like, juries, what the fuck are you doing? These things clearly, one, you're dickmatized by fame, and two, you're racist and scared of black people. That's the only that's the only explanation I can get to those things.
Well, wouldn't you say, though, in the Philando Castile situation, absolutely, but with the Cosby one, it was weird, because I want everyone to have a fair trial, even though, like, I do absolutely think he's guilty.
Right.
I think he only had two black people on his jury.
Which is, okay, but I think it's fame. He's like everybody's dad with the pudding pops. Everybody's like, ooh, we can't do this to Bill Cosby. Well, no, if he's a fucking predator, you damn right need to do that to Bill Cosby.
And it was like, how many women came out? Like 16 or
50.
So? 50.
Oh, 50.
Jesus. Like, there's no way that he should, but what do you think would be just, you think he should go to prison for the rest of his life?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I hate it because it's conflicting and it's Bill Cosby, but he's a predator.
I agree. I guess, like, I think I always have such questions about, because I question our I question our prison system, and I don't know if it's, like, the best, like, I guess I don't know what, like, the best, like, I want people to pay for their crimes, but I don't necessarily know what is the justness of it. And it's interesting, like, so I'm watching Queen Sugar, I'm halfway through it.
Oh, I need to watch it.
It's fucking, I won't talk too much about it, because we'll do, like, a whole entire segment about it once you finish, so we can talk about it. It's so good. And I'm also surprised at, like, how many people don't know about Queen Sugar, but they know about, like, you know, Orange Is the New Black or Hand Lady Tales or whatever.
Handmaidens.
You
know?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, Queen Sugar's so dope because it's, like, you know, just black excellence again, you know.
Right. Not to mention, I did a whole episode on it where every episode is directed by a woman director.
Yes. And it's amazing because it's also, but there's, it has all the different sort of conversations that we're even talking about too, where there is a sort of rape, a high profile celebrity, and a rape charge too. And then there's also the prison industrial complex, because, you know, Ava DuVernay is up on that. So it's interesting.
Oh yeah, the 13th.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you're seeing these real, like, these quote-unquote, like, it's not a documentary, but it has, it's black folks in Louisiana, which is another area that we don't really see conversations of black folks happening. Like, I feel like it's, like, either in LA or it's in New York or something.
And right,
they're kind of glamorized right now. We're kind of glamorized black folks right now. We're, you know,
what do you mean?
Blackish. We're rich. You know, even Empire, we're rich and bougie.
Okay, I see where you're getting at.
And I think Queen Sugar is really dope because it shows a different, I mean, there's a bougie character on there, but, like, it's also just connected to, like, you know, the South, and it's stories that you don't normally see. But anyway, sorry, long story long, there's a point where they sort of talk about how, you know, the real issues that we're not talking about, even as a black community, like, everybody's so focused on these high-profile celebrity sort of, like, rapes and cases and whatnot. And meanwhile, there's, you know, the prison industrial complex that, you know, that really disproportionate affects black folks. There was another woman, Charlena Lyles, 30 years
just
old.
Just got shot.
By the Seattle police. She had
pregnant.
Pregnant. Like, another thing you apparently can't do when you're black is call the police. She called them. There was a burglar.
And they shot her because she had a knife in her hand.
Right. And that is another thing that just goes to, like, clearly our police in this country are either, we've said this before, they're dealing with too much, or they're also ill, they're not properly trained. I think they have, like, 6 weeks of training. They should
have,
they should be able to disarm some tiny pregnant woman with a knife, even if you feel like you were being threatened.
Right, with children there. That's the thing. Like you said, we need to train our officers. We need to give them implicit bias training, because that is, I mean, if you listen to all the podcasts, they're all talking about implicit bias right now. And if anybody doesn't know, implicit bias is basically the biases that we have subconsciously, that we don't actively know that we have those, which cause officers to feel afraid of Black people because they have this negative connotation about Black people that is subconscious. Mm-hmm. So let's say she was a tiny white lady with a knife, which children all around her, that cop, no matter what the race of the cop is, would be more likely to just try and disarm that woman, because when you think of the stereotype and implicit bias for white women, it's not not threatening. Mm-hmm. Whereas Black women are seen as threatening and scary, so therefore the knife is not looked at as like, oh, cutting fruit, and turned into, oh, Black woman with a knife, dangerous, even though she's the one that called them for help. Like, mm-hmm. we need to train our police officers for implicit bias, because that's how we keep getting killed.
Absolutely. Well, and I also think it goes to a lack of Black female stories being told. You and I are both storytellers. That's how we were born, as storytellers, born and raised. We came out of the womb telling
just
stories.
Just telling those tales.
It's what we do. Mama's like, oh, here comes a storyteller. Hey, little storyteller. That was literally a quote from both of our mothers. We're not the Wonder Twins of podcasting for no reason. But this reminds me of this circles to, I think, an issue that I recently saw. So Elizabeth Banks, did you see this?
Oh, yes.
And so we talk about like Black female visibility and how it's so invisible, right?
Right.
And what was it? Elizabeth Banks was at an award show. I don't know the name of the award show. What was
she
it?
I forget. I don't care.
Gala.
Something fancy Hollywood. And she was trying to throw,
shade at Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, at Steven Spielberg. And I wouldn't even say throwing shade. I would say she was like just talking shit.
She was, and the shit was in some part like, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying, but she was like saying, you know, Steven Spielberg, you don't, you know, make stories with any female lead characters. And at first, if you think about it, like in the most recent years, you would go through that Rolodex and be like, oh yes, that is true.
Yeah, there hasn't been any.
Then what's her face?
Sherry Belafonte.
She was trying to call her. She was trying to be like, excuse me, the color purple, and Elizabeth Banks kind of like shooed her.
Which is fucked up, because Sherry Belafonte is Harry Belafonte's daughter in an institution, and you don't do that, Elizabeth Banks.
That is some royalty there. And so what it is forgetting the color purple, not even acknowledging that, and even just sort of shrugging it off. And that is such a huge movie still to this day, and especially even at the time that it was made.
Oprah got an Oscar nomination before she had the Oprah show for Color Purple.
Absolutely. So it's again that, like, there's that white feminism thing which sort of discounts Black female stories. Mm-hmm. And I bet you if the last like three movies that Steven Spielberg had done that had three white women in it, do you think Elizabeth Banks would be calling him out saying, hey, Steven Spielberg, where's your stories about women of color? Nope. She'd be like, thank you, I'm good.
She'd be like knocking on the door trying to get into that film.
And I'm disappointed because not too long ago, she was having a little sit down video brunch with Kerry Washington and Eva Longoria. So,
okay, but you know what? I do have to give her a little bit of props.
She did apologize.
Yes,
she did.
She apologized in person to Sherry Belafonte backstage, and she did it publicly on the thing, which I will give her, okay, a little oversight, but you know what? Now you need to walk the walk and actually go out and support Black women causes.
Yeah, and because also, I mean, Elizabeth Banks is she's a producer now and a director.
Right.
And stuff. I mean, I think that these Pitch Perfect movies could use a little bit more splash of a color and some of the other movies that she's doing.
Agreed.
And I just want to tackle on this idea, like this white feminism thing. The Sofia Coppola has a new movie coming out. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I have some thoughts on this.
Okay. So Sofia Coppola is doing this movie called Beguiled, which I think is a remake of a 1971 Clint Eastwood Civil War movie, and it's about like the women of the Civil. It's about a group of like a family or group of women on the Confederate side.
Yeah, so basically it's a Southern women's school that is almost all but abandoned because of the Civil War.
Yeah.
And it's all these women hunkered down in small handful of women hunkered down in some old Gothic house in the deep South.
Oh no,
And then a Union soldier happens upon there injured, and then all hell breaks loose.
Oh, okay. Spoilers. Mm-hmm. There it is.
That's not a spoiler. That's just the plot.
Girl, I will save you the trouble. I'm not going to go see this movie.
Neither am I. And I'll tell you why.
Sofia Coppola, apparently there's supposedly in the original, there's like one black, there's a slave. She's a house servant, right? Slave though, right? Wouldn't we just...
Let's just say slave. Let's call it what it is.
Call it what it is. And Sofia Coppola erased that character out of the movie.
Because she was uncomfortable?
She's like, a lot of girls see my movies and I didn't want that representation for them to see that. But...
What the fuck do you think was going on in the South at that time?
That's history. It is absolutely history. And so then what you don't see is that these are women who... are the Southern women who are nice to Confederate people who are also actually racist. Like,
right.
You need to show that. That is a part of the story and that is a part of the history. I don't care that you're uncomfortable, don't want to perpetuate anything. You're not perpetuating anything. You're telling history, and that is your job. As storytellers, it is our job to tell stories and tell history accurately as much as we can. And she whitewashed this story.
She did. And that's the thing that really pisses me off, because everybody likes to do the South and a Southern lady and I'm just a Southern belle. And no, your family benefited off of fucking slave labor. So you need to account with that. If that's a part of the story and you wanted to make the Yankee Union soldier the bad guy and the Southern women the good women, you need to add a little bit of complexity, because I'm sorry, Confederates were fighting for slavery. They will never be innocent in my eyes. Never, ever. 100% fuck you guys.
And to take it even a step further, and I've always kind of just like, and I always had this sinking suspicion about Sofia Coppola, just because like all of her movies, I would put them in the same,
are like so white.
Well, there it is. You just took the words.
Sorry.
Beat me to the finish line. I was gonna go a longer route. I was like, they remind me of Woody Allen films, as in AKA so white. No, I was getting there. You just landed my plane a lot faster, so I'm with you. Yeah, so white. And someone on Vulture was like, so what do you think about your movie kind of almost passes the Bechdel test, but they talk about the men a lot, and she didn't know what the Bechdel test was.
She did it, and she's a director
they
in 2017.
Explain to her what the Bechdel test was.
She's just a rich lady. She's a rich lady.
She's rich, yeah, rich white lady. Is she white, Italian?
That's white.
I know, but like sometimes, you know, they try to like, you know.
No, she's the daughter of Francis Ford Coppola.
She's rich.
Do they also make that from America?
And does she also benefit from all that wine I be buying?
She does. Of course she does.
Not getting my wine.
The sparkling wine that Coppola makes called Sophia is named after her.
I will be speaking with my wallet, Miss Coppola, and you can take that to the bank. I do want to praise another black female director, Gina Prince-Bythewood.
Okay.
Does that mean something familiar? You've seen her movies, because you have seen Beyond the Lights with Gugu.
Oh, I did see Beyond the Lights.
And you also, did you ever see For Love and Basketball? Love and Basketball, yeah.
So yeah, of course I did. That's a classic.
Well, guess who is directing the new superhero movie?
She is?
Yes, you won. Yay! You won a mini Quizlet Corner. How'd you guess? Yes,
you know,
sorry.
I'm just a smart woman.
She's a smart girl. Remember that show, Smart Guy, with Taj Mahal?
Oh, Guy. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now I do. Yeah.
Actually, on my Netflix, there's this, to digress a little bit more, there's a movie with Tia Tamara Mowry and Taj Mowry.
All
three of them. But I think it's called Double Trouble. And I was like, what? But there's three of you.
There's three.
But she's directing...
Their maths are wrong.
Your math is wrong in this one. She's directing the new movie called... it's going to be in the Spider-Man Sony universe, so not necessarily MCU.
Oh.
She's directing this movie called Sable and Black. So it's two female leads. Black Cat and Silver Sable. And because of the hype... because Wonder Woman's been doing so well. And in that movie... It was like, it's a turning point because it is like a female directed and female led movie, superhero movie.
I tried to go yesterday with some friends of mine. Sold out completely. Yeah.
And it's
all
been
the
for
showings
like
were sold out.
And it's
I
been
know.
Out for weeks, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Mummy is stupid. Nobody wants to see that show.
Nobody wants to see Tom Cruise running around. You know what, Mark? what is it, Universal? Let's have a conversation, okay?
Yeah, we need to have a conversation.
I want to sit you down because, you know what? You were home to some of my favorite things. I love me some Jurassic Park. I love me some original...
Oh, Universal.
Brendan, Universal, yeah. I love me some original... Mummy, well, not original, because there's lots of variations. But
you
Brendan,
like the 90s.
The Brendan Fraser one, right?
Yeah, that one's great. The love interest is a librarian.
She is, and she she saves the day a lot, too. She is not a woman on the side. She is.
I love a Rachel Weisz.
Me, too. She really stole my heart back then, you know? But what was I talking about?
Universal.
Universal. We need to sit down and have a conversation. Okay, because everybody who tries to do what Marvel did, and they're like, we're going to make a universe. The only
Doesn't
reason
work.
Why Marvel was able to make that universe was because people bought into Iron Man and wanted it. When they made that first Iron Man, they had no idea. They were just
making a superhero movie.
They were making a superhero movie. They're like, hey, you know, it'd be fun if we put Samuel Jackson in, and he mentions the Avengers. And people ate it up, and they were interested, because if that first Iron Man would have been shitty, we would not even...
It would be like goodbye. That's it.
So you gotta like make, and then I guess with this like new mummy, they're like, and here's all these people, and like
it's the worst.
Ooh, Jekyll and Hyde.
I know.
Here.
I hate that shit.
And the invisible man. Ooh, is he here? No one cares.
No one asked for this.
We don't care.
Like you got it. Like you said, it is so smart. You cannot be like, ooh, we're gonna just have everything connected. We're planning an empire. You got to start it off with a bang. Iron Man was an excellent movie, and that is why we are able to have the MCU universe.
Yeah,
everything else needs to have a good movie. If they were like, ooh, Catwoman, we're gonna connect it to all these things. No, I'm sorry, dead in the water.
It was
goodbye.
Dead on arrival. Although they were gonna try to make Benjamin Bratt be Batman somehow. Which you watch that movie and you're like, how? I don't understand
what
makes that happen. So Universal,
but you know what? It didn't happen.
Step one. Here's your step one. Make a good movie. There it
is. And because DC is struggling.
Wonder Woman has saved the day, because that was the first good movie from this new franchise that they have. Sidebar, side plug.
Yes.
If you have on the new, on the Marvel comic side, to get like really nerdy on you,
for
my job with Marvel, I had to read, there's a Secret Empire storyline where Captain America, it turns out that he's Hydra, yada, yada, yada.
Yes. Yes.
It's a big what to do. But there's a younger Avengers team that is forming in Aneke.
Oh.
It is beautiful. Because I think there's only one white guy on the team.
Oh, because the new Iron Man is a black lady, right?
It's a black lady, Ironheart, yeah.
Yeah.
And Miles Morales, he's, you know,
Spider-Man.
Black and Latino. Vision, the new Vision, her name is Viz. She's a robot.
She's a robot. She's nothing.
But she's a woman, right?
Oh, okay. Well, is she?
Yeah, no, she's a lady robot.
But I mean, like, robots, do they have gender?
She's got boobs, and she's got hair.
Boobs? Come on, get out of here.
But she's got hair. Wait, this is a good thing. Like, I really
feel like robots don't have gender.
But she identifies as a woman, so I can't, I'm not taking that away from her, Aneke, so don't
okay,
you.
Okay, all right,
don't
all right.
Don't you take that from her.
She's still like a toaster.
Well, she likes to dress as a woman, I will say that.
So she identifies as a woman.
Yes,
there we
and then
go. Okay.
The young Hulk is Asian, he's like, I think he's Asian and Latino?
Yeah, he's Korean.
No, Korean, yeah. And then there's the Miss Marvel, she's Pakistan. She's Asian. She's American. She's American Pakistani.
Right.
Yeah.
She has that arm, that big hand, right?
Yes. And then there's a slew of others. There's the new Wasp, Nadia Pym, which I don't know what she is, but she looks a little brown to me. There's the new Falcon. He is Joaquin Torres. He's Latino. And then there's also Miss America, who she's also Latinx as well. Literally think there's like a one white guy on the team. And I'm just like,
you
this
know
is
what?
Really dope.
Just keep it diverse, Marvel. Yep. Keep it going.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, because these iterations are going to be the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well. Maybe like 15, 20 years. And then lastly, Beyonce had a baby.
She had two babies.
What?
She had twins.
What? Did we know this? How? I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like this.
You are not a part of the beehive. I know this.
I know. Well, how do
but
you?
Don't I am.
Do not tell my business. You know that beehive is vengeful, and they will come a zip zack and stinging at me. You saw what they did to Becky with the good hair.
They got half here. I will protect you because I am an avid member of the beehive. Beehive, beehive. However,
I feel like
the fuck you want to say
it. Very low key. This pregnancy.
No,
like,
she
really?
Has been.
I feel
are
like
you
I've
kidding
heard nothing.
Me?
I feel like I've heard nothing.
She had a push party where everybody dressed up in African clothes, and she was walking around in a midriff with her stomach hella gigantic. She's been taking pictures here and there. She's like
underbelly. Is that what they call it? Is it underbelly?
No, she just had a big no. Oh. It was just out with a henna on it. She had the Grammys performance where she just literally walked and sat in a chair, and then the chair tipped backwards, and then she got up and sang. She was supposed to perform at Coachella, but then she was too pregnant to do so. It's been all over the news, James.
Oh.
I think you've been actively avoiding it.
I knew about the Coachella thing. I just this thing about the twins. I have a question about this. Do we think, and like, who are we? Just let's have some fun for a second. I just think, do you think she had twins because she has hella money and they put like a lot of hormones in her? Because think about like Janet Jackson had a baby at 50 and nobody talked about her baby, but Janet, I'm listening to the I care. Yeah, and she went through that divorce. She went through a divorce.
You're part of Rhythm Nation. That's why.
That is exactly it.
That's why.
I am part of the Rhythm Nation. I never stopped, even though she had a questionable line that said all lives matter. But that was early on in the conversation. That was early on. But
so here's my thing. Everybody's been saying there's a couple of things. So when you do, she could have easily done IVF, which could have given her multiples. Mm-hmm. Or when you are over 35, 35 to 40, they call it, I hate that they call it a geriatric pregnancy, but they do. And
can you believe Beyonce had a geriatric pregnancy?
I mean, I'm
that
about
geriatric
to.
And Beyonce are
is
not
fucked up.
It's
a it's rude
weird
ass,
that that's in the same sentence. It's rude. We should rename
it. We need to
that.
Rename it because it's what, rude
what,
as hell.
What would we call like not an elderly woman, like a mature woman pregnancy?
No, all of those sound like an old ass lady. Just you're having a baby in your late 30s. That's what it should be called.
Oh, okay, all right.
But
I mean, it's
here's
not
the
as
other
sexy
thing.
As anything else.
Here's the other thing, though. When you are between 35 and 40, your body is like, I don't got much more time, and it shoots out more. It shoots out more eggs. So there's a higher chance of having multiples the older you get. Like, I have a couple of friends, well, one friend who had twins, and there's no twins on either side of the family just because it's one of those, like, shooting them out, time to get it out. Kind
that
of body
sense.
Things.
Mm-hmm. And if I can, you know, I learn everything I know about life from TV, and oftentimes on
that's a
TV,
healthy habit.
In the families, the last set of babies are oftentimes twins.
That's late term or late whatever, you know, geriatric pregnancy.
Well, there you go. You did not double down on your new word and phrase.
I don't know. It's crazy. I am scared to death. I don't want to have twins, but you know what? I waited hella long, so there we go.
Yeah, Aneke, listen, this is nature's way of just saying, you should have started earlier. And now you've got this. Oh, man, you're going to double the trouble. You'll name them Aneke and James.
I don't want to name a kid Aneke. That's way too confusing.
Well, it'll be more confusing for me if you don't.
There is only one bitch in this show, and her name is Aneke, and no other baby is going to take that from me. Even if it is my baby, I don't give a fuck. You don't exist right now, baby, and your name is not going to be Aneke. I'm sorry, future baby.
I want you to give this, good thing we're recording this, because I want you to replay this to your daughter and sit her down and be like, this is why you can't have my name.
I'm just going to be staring at her the whole time when I play
it. As she listens. Well, I'm going to name, you know what I'm going to do to really fuck you up, Aneke, because I always to keep you up on your toes.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to name my baby Aneke Jr.
Well, then I'm just going to call that kid Junior.
Call her by her full name. Uh-uh. Say her name, Aneke. Uh-uh. Call her by her full name.
No.
All right. Well, agree to disagree once again. How many? I hate that we're ending a segment on our 2-year anniversary with an agree to disagree. But
no,
okay,
you know
here
what?
We go.
You know what? Here we go. I agree with you because what I was saying earlier is that there's only one Aneke per each story. I'm the Aneke of my story. You can have an Aneke in your story. I bless every story to happen in Eneke.
Aren't you technically already the Eneke in my story?
I mean, if you're going to have a kid, that's your own private gentle story. Oh, I'm okay. A part of your business outface story.
Oh, damn. All right.
I don't know what I'm saying right now.
Why is my personal life a gentle story? Have you met me? Sounds like a challenge. My baby Eneke is going to be crazy. No. She's going to be like a Bianca crazy. Ever met a Bianca? They're crazy.
I don't know any Biancas.
Bianca, step up to the plate. You know who you are. They are wild and they cannot be tamed. There is not a soft-spoken Bianca in the world. Prove me wrong if you're out there.
Pisces. I'm just going to throw that in there right now because...
Is that the sign?
Yes, Pisces the sign.
Wow, Eneke, you are really going bold here with an entire sign.
Every time, all you Pisces are the only people that are like, it's Pisces season. Celebrate Pisces time. Pisces friendship. Just Pisces in the world. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, I feel like a lot of people do that because I think Virgos
are all... Have you heard anybody go Capricorn season?
Well, no, not the Capricorn. You're a humble group. But Virgos will let you know who they are and they'll be like, we're Virgos and it's going to be organized. Let's do this. Leos are like, where? I'm here. And Geminis are always like, I'm crazy. Don't trust me. And at least they're honest about it.
True. I just feel like there's always somebody talking about Pisces season and I don't understand it.
Maybe you just have a lot of Pisces in your world.
You know, maybe I do.
Maybe you do. Look at your life. Look at your choices. let's get to... I'll just leave you with that.
Okay.
Let's get to Juneteenth. Let's celebrate it. And rehash it out.
Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, baby.
Okay, so...
We should write the next year, we're going to do an album, and it's the Juneteenth album. We're going to do there's no songs.
I don't know.
Okay, why are you not getting on... This is a money-making scheme.
It's true, but I'm so...
You're always usually on board with my money-making schemes.
I am, but you know I have a complicated relationship with Juneteenth.
I do, but I don't remember... why? Okay. I've been to a Juneteenth festival in my life. I used to go to the Juneteenth in Vallejo.
You know what? I am all for celebration for Black people to celebrate, but for some reason, Juneteenth just rubs me a little wrong. But you know what? That's my own opinions, and everybody can celebrate Juneteenth. I want everybody who celebrates Juneteenth to celebrate Juneteenth in joy. So,
do you prefer? You prefer more of a Kwanzaa?
A Kwanzaa because
we did a whole episode about it.
Yeah, and we have actually done an episode on Juneteenth. But there is another story that came up about Juneteenth that I want to cover. But let's just do a refresher on what Juneteenth is.
Just a refresher. You can also go back to our past episode, but we're going to do a quick refresher here. And it was episode 2.
So Juneteenth stands for June 19th. It people just smashed it together because Black people are creative.
And we are so creative. We will put it together. Look at these two words. Put it together.
Okay, so I got this What is Juneteenth from the African Americans by Henry Louis Gates Jr. And it was on PBS, and it's also on The Roots. So
you know it's good, and you know it's good. Legit.
It's so true. So I'm just going to read this part right here. So when Major General Gordon Granger issued the above order, so there was an order, he had no idea that in establishing the Union Army's authority over the people of Texas, he was also establishing the basis for a holiday. Juneteenth, June plus 19th, is the most popular annual celebration of emancipation from slavery in the United States. So that's what people generally think. They think, it's the day the slaves were freed, right? Okay, right. So after all, by the time Granger assumed command of the Department of Texas, the Confederate capital in Richmond had fallen, the executive to whom he referred to, President Lincoln, was dead, and the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery was well on its way into ratification. But here's the thing, and this is where I get annoyed.
Okay, this is Eneke's tipping point annoyance corner. All right, teach the kids, girl.
Okay, so Granger, who was the Major General, General Gordon Granger of Texas, he wasn't just a few months late. The Emancipation Proclamation ending slavery in the Confederacy, at least on paper, had taken effect 2.5 years before.
Oh my God. Yeah, I remember. It's all coming back to me. And yeah. The whoosh of deja vu. Yeah, that isn't, yeah. That's not annoying. There's not even words to describe. That's terrible.
It's so fucked
up. So for like
up.
2.5 years, they were supposed to be fucking free. That's like, I mean, think about like when you were ready to graduate high school and like you were there for an extra 2 years and people were like, I mean, not even the same thing, but
right.
Just, you know,
like
putting
like,
on levels
oh,
that we can all.
We had your degree already written up 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, what are you still doing taking geometry? You can go. Get out of here.
Right?
What?
So that is
what
why
is
I have a problem with Juneteenth, because it is not the day that black people should have been free. It's the
right.
day that white slave owners duped us into working for 2.5 years past
at
when we should have been working.
So they could figure out some shit. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's more of like Juneteenth. Well, finally it happened. You know, maybe that's the tagline to it.
Like, I like that. I'll take that.
About damn time.
About time.
Like, that's the main Juneteenth celebration. Like, well, finally.
So here's the
thing.
So the story that I want to, well, that just happened. People were freed in Texas.
Okay.
That Texas literally was like the last place where black people were freed. And that's when Juneteenth happened.
Now, I'm glad you brought this up because, see, this is the thing. Like, I don't know enough. Like, I know about slavery, but I don't know enough because I didn't even realize that Texas had slaves. I didn't even know that Texas was around.
Yeah.
Guess, you know, I didn't realize it was a part.
Texas was part of the Confederacy.
Damn. Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that. You can read into that however you will.
Texas is the South.
Well, I know it's the South, but like, yeah, that makes sense. Because then you get over to New Mexico and it's not as crazy. They're actually pretty awesome, you know?
They're not.
Santa Fe
and Taos is great. But the rest, they're not so hot towards Native Americans. Let's just, and Latinos.
You're right on that point. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I see.
So, moving on over, now that we have a history of Juneteenth and why Aneke is grumbly at it.
And we understand why. No one's side-eyeing you. And if you were side-eyeing her, you've got to side-eye me first to get to her. And you're going to run out of eyes. So
you need to correct your gaze.
Correct your gaze. So, oh my God, that's the perfect comeby. Someone is side-eyeing you.
You
need
go
to
correct
your
gaze.
Thank you.
Okay, so I went over to Color Lines, which is another great source that I look at all the time. And they wrote on an article by Kenra Rankins, wrote on, okay, so Juneteenth, celebration that ends slavery in the United States, the commemoration that day and recognition of the current war black people wage daily in search of true freedom organizers. The true freedom organizers with the movement of for Black Lives, so the Black Lives Movement, will hold a day of action meant to reclaim space.
Whoa.
So basically, Union General William T. Sherman, Special Fields Ordinance 15, promised newly free slaves a plot no more than 40 acres of tillable ground to be taken from confiscated Confederate land. So whenever you hear black people talk about, where's our 40
where's
acres?
40 acres and a mule.
That's what it comes from. So basically, as of January 16th, 1865, this order was known as 40 acres and a mule. But after President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, President Andrew Johnson reversed.
That's not his official name?
Well,
Asshole Johnson.
Official, unofficial, do what you will with it.
Yeah.
He reversed the order. So
he was like, psych, we're going to hold on to this land.
Never mind.
He's like, Lincoln was crazy.
So you know what? I feel like asshole is appropriate. Because, maybe people who have dedicated their whole lives and generations of people serving and building the country for no money deserve fucking 40 acres and a mule of land to get themselves started. Right?
Absolutely. Because you're literally just like, okay, you're free now, but I don't know, get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't know what you're going to do, but you're not going to do it here.
Right?
I'm not going to help you. Like, I know we kidnapped you and your family and generations.
Right.
Kidnapped. Right.
And then you have the fucking nerve to be like, never mind, we're not going to give you fucking 40 acres. 40 acres isn't that much.
It's not even that much.
Fucking Winnie the Pooh had more with his 100 acre wood.
He did. And he was just a stuffed animal bear in the land of imagination of Christopher Robin.
Eating fucking honey.
He was living that life. But you know, I'm not mad at him. I can't be mad at the player.
I know, we can't compare. The game. I'm just giving comparisons.
Can't be mad at the Winnie. And it's true. And it is a valid comparison in that. And also, but you know what? Here's the thing though, Neke. If they would have given everybody 40 acres, as we know from the histories that you have so accurately told us about, from the, what was that massacre? The Greensboro Massacre.
Yes. Greenwood. And then there was
Greenwood Massacre. And then there was the one that happened with the Texas Rangers.
Yes.
Anytime some non-whites had land back in that time, them white folks would have found a way through guns to get that land back.
I know. It's sad. But
so
you
in
know
some
what?
Ways, lives might have been saved through not having that extra land. I mean, they should have had that land.
Maybe more black people would have banded together and there would have been bigger plots of land and more protection. Who knows? Either way, Andrew Johnson.
Fuck you.
Yes.
Sorry, did I beat you? I didn't mean to.
No,
I just couldn't,
that's good.
I couldn't resist.
You needed it. I needed that con response.
You know what? In honor of our 2-year anniversary, we're going to bring back the corner. And Andrew Johnson, who is it, Andrew Johnson?
Yeah.
Jack?
Yep. Johnson.
Yeah. Andrew Johnson, you get the fuck in the corner. You get the fuck in that 2-year anniversary corner.
Ugh, God.
Side-eye corner of death.
So.
Yeah.
In positive news, so the Black Lives Matter people, they emailed this statement actually last 2 Mondays ago. Yeah. They wrote, from vacant lots to empty school buildings, black people across the country will take back land that should be used for the good of the people. Land that black people have been historically been denied access to. Through national efforts to collectively reclaim 40 acres in 40 cities, the actions aim to confront the institution that have built off the extracted wealth of black people and black land and the individuals who have profited from them. So this has been created as part of a year-long initiative called the Black Land and Liberation Initiative. It's now a nationwide action kind of goal to make abandoned spaces available for work and for people who need them the most.
So that's great. So we can kind of do what like white people have done for so long. If we see some land and no one's using it, we can be like, I'm going to take this.
I'm going to reclaim this fucking shit, this abandoned ass shit.
You're not using it, so I'm going to take it.
People will take over spaces by entering, cleaning, reclaiming, and opening abandoned buildings, vacant lots, and local spaces that are critical to local communities across the country. Chinnery Tachudinda, sorry I butchered your name, but is the lead organizer and co-director of Blackout Collective, who is heading this up. Just to let you guys know, some of the 40 cities include Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans, New York City, Oakland, and Philadelphia. Notice they're all notably black cities, too.
Right. And places where you and I both reside. So we can have Minority Corner West and Minority Corner East building. We can go get ourselves a building.
Exactly. Let's go reclaim that shit.
Yeah.
So if you want to like get a part of this, one, I'm going to link this. But there's Find Action Near You. It's m4bl.net. So go there, find an organization that is helping to clean up, reclaim those 40 acres, and give it to people who need it the most.
Beautiful. Ooh, go get you some land. Treat yourself. It's 2017. Treat yourself and go get yourself some land.
Yes. So celebrate some Juneteenth by reclaiming that shit.
That's a great... See, now we got you on board. Yeah. See, now you're on board using Juneteenth to reclaim it. Every Juneteenth, just take a little bit more land back. It's also just... I will just leave it at that.
Yay
that.
Should we go to your corner?
Oh, yeah. Let's get on over there. I'm going to teach you about the flag.
I am ready to wave that flag.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
And together we present Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions.
We explain the historical significance of everyday etiquette topics, then answer your questions relating to modern life.
So join us weekly on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
No RSVP required.
Check out Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
She She's a grand old flag. She's a grand old flag. Flag, 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 flag,
flag, flag, flag, flag it up. To flag it up. I'm saying flag, not fag, but you could say it in both if you do claim that. You could fag that, flag it up.
All right. Okay.
Up to you. I personally don't use that. I don't use that word, but if that is your way of reclaiming it, I'm not going to stand in your way. Because I have other things to do as a liberated queer black homosexual. Yes. That's a lot of titles I gave myself.
I know. That is why we are all about intersectionality.
All about it. So, it was 2 weeks ago, by the time you're listening to this, 2 weeks ago, Philadelphia was having its pride and having its gay old queer old time.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia had unleashed a new flag upon the world.
So, okay.
This flag had, in addition to the other colors that you usually see on the rainbow flag, it had both a black and brown stripe on it.
All right.
And so most folks would just be like, okay, all right, I see that. Okay, that's different. Why was it there? And you would then find out from folks like Amber Hikes, who's the head of Philadelphia's Office of LGBT Affairs. And there was a spokesperson who pretty much said, you know, the black and brown stripes are an inclusionary way to highlight black and brown LGBTQIA members within our community.
Love it.
So it's pretty much a way to acknowledge. And so, you know, with all of the black and brown activism that's worked to address racism in the gayborhood over the past year, I think the new flag is a great way forward for the city to show the world that we're working toward fully supporting all members of our community.
Right, especially since black and brown members tend to be targeted more.
Interesting you should say that. So most folks, just to walk through this, like most people would just kind of hear that exclamation. You might question it and just be like, oh, okay. Oh, that's why you did it. Okay.
Yeah.
And especially because Philadelphia has had some issues with racial discrimination over the past, especially when it comes to Pride.
Mm.
They've had like, I think it was last year at Philadelphia, there was a club that was like whites only or something. It was some sort of craziest.
Ew, what the fuck?
So more the reason that perhaps this flag might be, this addition to the flag might be, you know, some needed, right?
Necessary.
Yeah, I mean, especially when, so most, and I have found out about this from like, I was listening to some classical music. I was listening to, who's that? Some Carnegie Hall. Who's like a big fancy symphony people in New York? Who damn?
The Philharmonic.
Yes,
New York Philharmonic.
Look at you. She knows it all. Let's listen to Philharmonic in Central Park and sitting there. And
wait.
What?
Can I tell a real quick sidebar? Just real quick.
What? Yeah, what is it? What's going on?
We were so when James was in town, we were driving in the car and James was like, let me do this. It was like, I got some good shit for you to listen to. Normally James has like makes me listen to like some hip hop music and makes me young again.
Or the latest like pop sensation that you need to, you know.
And so he puts it on and first it's hella quiet. I'm like, what is this? And then all of a sudden I hear some flutes and then I hear some timpani and it's some fucking.
It was Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, which is one of my favorites. It calms me down and makes me feel like I am on cloud nine. I love me some classical music. Secrets of James.
It was good.
Outing me out in the second year anniversary. Anyways, so I'm in.
Now we're back to you listening to classical
in
music.
In Central Park, listen to the Philharmonic as you do in the summertime. And two of my friends, I had not heard about this and they wanted to get my opinion immediately. Now, this is, so I then became the spokesperson.
Immediately, now!
I've never even heard about this. I became the spokesperson for, you know, LGBT blacks. And I've been very spoiled because recently in New York, most of my friends who are LGBT have been mostly, have a very diverse, because there's so much diversity here that I don't have, it's very, not often for me just be hanging out with like, you know, a bunch of white dudes or something, or white gays, you know?
Right.
So I then had to become like the spokesperson and I guess like there was one comment on one person who had commented on I know, don't read the comments, but someone had commented on like unicorn booty or something, and he like his comment is like the one at the very top because all these folks keep liking it because for him, you know, he's like, well, I'm black, and he's like, you know, there's no, where's the white stripe at? And he's like, you know, let it be a rainbow. And he's like, you know, there's no trans stripe, there's no abled stripe, you know. For him, he sees it as it is just targeting he feels like he's being targeted.
Oh, because none of the other colors represent anything.
I can see that. Now, before, I want to put a pin in this, and let's just, like...
Okay, yeah. We'll talk.
What the fuck is this flag? Where did it come from? What's the history of it? Well, first of all, calm your mouth, young lady. We're talking...
Oh, that was me saying that?
Yeah, that was you.
It's okay.
What the fuck is this flag? Where the fuck did it come from? Okay. Hold on. I got you.
Whew, I was angry. I was upset. I needed to know.
I'm transforming you. This time, okay. I'm Miss Sizzle.
Frizzle. Miss Sizzle. Take me on the magic school bus.
We're now in 1970. And,
oh, okay.
We meet a young geeky kid from Kansas named Gilbert Baker. He was an Army draftee, and he had been discharged in San Francisco around the 1970s, like many folks in the military at the time. One of the reasons why San Francisco became such a hotbed of gay men specifically was because all these folks were being gay in the military, and the military's like, get the fuck out of here. And they were being sent from, I guess, Vietnam, and they'd be right in San Francisco, and they didn't want to go home because of shame of why they were discharged from the military.
Oh, wow, I did not know this.
Things to know that. And so then you're hearing, if you're like in Kansas and you're hearing, or some other parts of the country, like there's a lot of gay activity happening, you start flocking there.
Yeah, it's like a mecca. You go there.
Yeah, it is the bat signal to the promised land has shown. So in 1974, Gilbert Baker, he met Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, you know, he was elected to San Francisco Board of Supervisors. And Harvey Milk championed him to, he said, you kind of championed him to make some sort of a symbol. At the time, folks were using the pink triangle. And as we know, the pink triangle was used from the concentration camp. So we wanted a new sort of symbol.
More uplifting, I guess.
Yes. And so Baker, Gilbert Baker, he began dyeing fabrics himself. And he came up with these different colors. There was hot pink, which stood for sexuality.
Oh, they do have themes.
Oh, yeah. Hot pink stands for sexuality. Red stands for life. Oh. Orange for healing. Yellow for the sun, green for nature, turquoise for blue. Turquoise blue for art.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say turquoise for blue. Come on.
He was just not a stress there.
He's like,
turquoise,
I don't know.
Turquoise blue for art.
Yeah.
Indigo for harmony and violet for spirit.
That's nice.
Yeah. So what had happened, though, so that was the flag, and he felt so inspired seeing we were having a flag. He was like, it was an instant, like a bolt of lightning, that this was their flag, our flag. It belonged to all of us. It was the most thrilling moment of my life because I knew right then that this was the most important thing I would ever do, that my whole life was going to be about me making the rainbow flag.
That's good. I always thought it was from like the Friends of Dorothy in the whole Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but I was wrong. So that's kind of cool. I love that.
This is why we have these little get-togethers. And then in 1978, at the Gay Freedom Day Parade, because that's what it used to be called back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And that was, of course, then. But these days, all the festivities, it should be called Queer Pride.
Oh.
Yeah, so if your city is calling it a gay pride, go knock on someone's door, and it should be...
Excuse me, knock, knock, knock.
Yeah, not all of us are just gay here, right? Mm-hmm. So, So he had approached this company called the Paramount Flag Company to mass produce the flags, but the fuchsia fabric was not readily available. So it was originally had 8 colors, and it then only had 7. So there was a 7-stripe version, and then they just decided at the last minute. Oh, and I guess like the Order of Rainbow for Girls, which is a Masonic organization for young women.
What is that?
They also were going to have this as their flag, but the flags ended up getting used for gay pride, for the Freedom Day Pride. And then the Order of Rainbow for Girls decided to not use the flag anymore.
That sounds like some spooky Illuminati shit. Masonic Rainbow Order for Girls. Okay, the rightful owner.
So then after the assassination of Harvey Milk, we still needed some sort of a symbol. And so we went back to the rainbow flag, and it began in 1979. It was flown up the light poles along both sides of Market Street in 1979 for the Gay Freedom Day parade there. And They split the colors onto two flags, flying each of the three striped flags on an alternate side of the street. And then they eliminated the indigo stripe to make an even six colors. So then it went from, remember, originally it was going to be eight, and then it was down to seven, and then it was down to six. So what I'm saying is that this flag is literally, even in the history of this flag, it's malleable.
Yeah, it's been changing.
And I'm, you know, I have friends of mine. I think I've met Gilbert. I know my friends. Two of my best friends have met Gilbert, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I met him or I just remember them telling me about meeting him. I can't remember. My life is, it's such
a
whirlwind.
You're just a man on the go. You just don't know when you're coming or going and who you're meeting, even if they've created the flag.
Who are you? What? I can't be bothered. I got to keep going. Beyonce had a baby.
But
this is why it's so important, I think, of like what it is that we do when we have these little get-togethers and have these conversations and rehash history, because what people forget is that back in the height of the AIDS epidemic, the Freedom Pride parades actually added a black stripe onto the flag.
They did.
To symbolize,
So
this flag is constantly...
You can constantly change it to adapt to what the current issue is. And if, okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. My thing goes back to, you know, because my first gut reaction was, I feel like this is a lot of, you know, possibly white gay men being upset about a flag. And then there was this comment from this one black guy. And of course, it got the most likes
because
this one guy was saying something that vibed with what they were saying. And I think you're missing the point. And some were saying, like, you know, I feel like some white gays were saying, you know, oh, this is just, you know, for them, they felt like it was well-meaning white people trying to be inclusive, but doing it in the wrong way. And
but how
I
is
say
it
like,
wrong?
But I say like, at least they're trying. What are you doing? Like, at least they're trying to make efforts to make something that's more inclusionary. And the fact that this is being a huge debate and a huge conversation means that we probably do need to have it on the flag for right now.
Yeah.
And because clearly that there was a need for it, there was a want for it, there was a desire for it. I mean, let's look at something too. Marriage equality passed as a civil rights issue because it affected white people. How do I know that? How do I know that for a fact? We still don't have prison reform. We still don't have immigration reform because it does not affect white folks in the disproportionate amount that with marriage equality, it was like, oh, white people are being affected by it. We need to get this passed. Meanwhile, we still have all these fucking, you know, homeless youth.
Right. It's so true. You bring up such a good point where it's like, I feel like this is synonymous with, if you don't like the black and brown stripe on the flag, you are all lives mattering it.
Yes.
You are not understanding that there is a crucial epidemic happening right now, especially within the queer community where, I mean, isn't like the highest number of deaths in the trans community, isn't it? Black women?
Yep, it is black and brown trans women have the highest rates. That's a thing too, but like by putting black and brown stripes on there. And like honestly at the end of the day, I don't care. It's a fucking flag.
It's like, it's a novelty thing.
I'm just kind of like, for me, it's like just trying to shut down the debate of like, let this flag fucking fly. If you don't like it, then and it's not, no one's saying you have to adopt this flag. Then that's not your flag and that's fine.
No.
Right.
But you know what? If you have a problem with it, maybe you should look at your implicit bias and why you have a problem with it.
And I think that's the conversation that some people are missing. And I think like this flag, it can't be too precious. Cause I think when you make anything too precious, like that's when you get things like the Bible. The Bible's too precious, right?
Yep.
Like it can't adapt, it can't breathe, it can't transform, it can't grow. And to me, queerness is about transformation. It's about transvolving over normatives and limits and expectations and constantly redefining.
Yes.
That's a trouble in saying that this flag must stay stagnant, because 200 years from now, the conversation might might evolve and symbols and things like that should be able to transform with that.
Oh, I completely agree with you 100%. Like anytime we start thinking that we can't have any change, look at old rules. Mm-hmm. You wanted marriage equality. Who was out there making sure that didn't
Very
change?
True. Yep.
You know, I think like... I love that you brought up the fact that during the AIDS epidemic, there was the black stripe on the flag, because I think the flag should be used as a way to pointing out the current events and the current fucking issues that's happening, so it stays present in our mind. And you know what? If somebody wants to celebrate and uplift black and brown people, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all it was. And it was Philadelphia doing, because they had, you know, they had some questionable things happening with their pride. And that fact that, like, black and brown folks did not probably feel included at their pride. I mean, there is a separate, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but there's, you know, there's the, Oakland has its own pride in there as well. And a lot of black and brown folks feel more comfortable at Oakland Pride than they do San Francisco Pride because of a very similar thing. The fact that people are still listing their racial preferences on Grindr and Scruff is probably maybe a reason why maybe for one, while this conversation is still happening, to remind people that, like, we need to have, like, just, it's bringing the conversation and awareness to it. And I also just think, like, too, it's like, I mean, y'all are worrying about a fucking flag. Like, to me, that just speaks of, like, such privilege. The fact that, like, people are able to get so up in arms, like, that's your issue. I'm sorry, as a black queer man, I got other things that I need to focus on.
There are way better things that you can attend your energy towards.
How cute that you get to stamp your feet at people within your own community. Right. Like, that's the problem. Excuse me, but Betsy DeVos just said that states should be allowed to decide whether their schools can discriminate against LGBTQ students. So that's where your focus and attention should be. Yes. There is anti-LGBT legislation being passed consistently. Trump is not standing for the queers.
You're concerned about two extra colors on a flag.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which, like, has no effect onto you, but will mean probably so much for other black and brown people who felt ousted from their communities, from their homes.
Right.
That they will actually feel included into something. And I would also say, too, is that it kind of makes sense, too, because it's like, honestly, so much of gay culture, queer culture stems from black and brown queer folks. You know,
right? So anything, like, we were talking about ball culture, Paris is burning, all the language that's coming from literally everything on RuPaul's Drag Race is from black and Latinx fucking culture. Yep. Like, what the fuck?
There's words that most people are saying nowadays that stem from these folks who don't get any credit for what they have created. Even the music, the fashion, the culture, the language they have formed our literal pop cultural zeitgeist. And if anything, this flag is saying thank you. We acknowledge that. We appreciate it.
Yes.
And like you were saying too, black and brown queer folks are at high risk for HIV, higher rates for homelessness, and being murdered. Have some fucking solidarity. I think it's a great idea to, like, one day down the line, we won't need to have the black and brown stripes, but maybe right now, and if it means something to somebody else, let them do it. And if it, like, and it does not harm or affect you at all if you're offended by it.
Literally does not affect you. I'm just gonna say this, and people can take it for what it will. If you have a problem with the inclusion of the black and brown stripe on the flag, then you need to check yourself because you have racist tendencies. And that's it.
No, yeah, and you know what? If you do not remember the song, what was the other half of that? Check yourself. You're gonna wreck yourself.
Like, I know.
You guys, oh my God, I'm concerned. I am concerned.
Know.
I just want to start running up to these people. You're gonna wreck yourself.
I know. Check yourself.
I do want to end on a positive sort of uplifting note. I know that you saw this too, but I wanted to touch on, there was that a positive note in terms of pride specifically, because I remember last week I said that the White House wasn't celebrating pride.
Right.
Well, someone made them.
Yes, I saw this. Yes. Tell the listeners.
What was his name? Nikos Giannopoulos, who teacher of the year, I believe.
Yes.
And he got to go to the White House, and, you know, he wore his gay pride. He wore a gay pride pen. He gayed it up. Essentially, what he did. He didn't wear a tie. He wore like this like fancy little like
silver necklace,
and he had a fan. He had a fan.
Yeah.
And in his photo, it's like him standing with like that man and Melania and his kidnapped woman or whatever. And he's got that fan like popped out. And
it's so good.
And there was a story about how they asked him about it. And he was like, oh, like he loved it. I popped it out when I opened, he said, I popped it open when I walked into the office because I'm a very sassy person. Also, sidebar, I just want to just quote and notice too, just to analyze everything that's going on. This guy is white.
Right.
And even that term sassy, like that is from black. Like, not saying you can't use it and have it. I'm just saying.
Just give us some thanks.
Where does this come from, right? And even just like give the fan, thanks. Like all of it, you know. But
fan is ball culture.
Do your thing, do your thing. But I just want to make sure that we're seeing where things are coming from, where I'm talking about. Anyways, he says, I'm a very sassy person. And Trump complimented it right away. He said, I love the fan. And he told me I had great style. Then when I was ushered in for my private photo with the president and Melania, I was told I should put it away. So I just folded it up and held it up on my side. But when it came time for the photo, I just asked the president, hey, do you mind if I use the fan for the photo? He said, absolutely, go for it. So I popped my fan and did my pose.
See, that is the way to do it. And also, I just want to point out that he's a special education teacher, which is give him props.
He is doing the Lord's work on that one, because that is, you know, and probably incredibly underfunded. Betsy DeVos.
Underfunded. I mean, being a teacher in general and especially, is fucking...
And if you were anything but what certain probably folks want at that cream of that crop, good luck getting any sort of fucking funding, right?
I know, right? So... good on you.
And that's just the thing is that, like,
I love
and
that.
I want us to, like, you can't stop progress. We end up winning the awards and we have to come up to the White House anyways. Like, you can't shut us out. You can't shut us down.
No.
We're over fucking achievers. If you're a minority or on any sort, we're working hard because we're kind of crazy in the head because society is just trying to, like, kill us and tell us we're not good enough. So we're pushing through all of this shit. So you can't shut us down. We're going to be at the White House anyways, popping our fans, duck walking. Yep. Doing our thing.
You know what? I love that because my first inclination would be like, no, I don't want to go to the fucking White House. Mm-hmm. But I love the idea of going to the White House and being visibly who you are there as a form of just saying we're not going anywhere.
I agree.
Which is excellent.
I agree. What a beautiful form. Because I would have thought the same thing. I would have, you know, but, you know, next time I'm invited to the White House, I'm going to go, but I'm going to fold up my arms. I'm going to wear a big ass rainbow flag. I'll have a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on. I'll have
a shirt that says blackety black, blackety black, 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 black.
I'll have a pussy hat on. Just lay. I'll be wearing so much. I'll be like this giant.
You'll just be tchotchke man.
I will be tchotchke man. A dingle dangle. And I will have my arms just crossed. I will just be in all those photos. Or, you know, like anything. And so it's like, I think now that maybe some of the hurt from the election has waned, now it's like, all right, my country tis a V. I don't know the rest of the words, but like taking it back. So... there it is. If I had a fan, I'd pop it. But happy pride. Get over the flag. The flag is a symbol, not the movement.
Right. Thank you.
I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandi Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
We're Lady to Lady. Do you want a sleepover in your ears?
Is that a friend in your pocket, or are you just podcast to see me?
We're a portable hangout you can bring to the gym, on the subway, or on an oil rig.
Seriously, we have listeners who do that.
Chill with us while we get high with Margaret Cho.
Talk showgirls with Katya from Drag Race.
And hear Broadway star Anthony Rapp sing Hamilton.
I am not throwing away my shot. Throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
That's Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
I feel like I should have gotten you a gift or something for our anniversary.
You know what? My gift from you is your friendship always.
Oh, that's actually funny. In my mind, I was actually thinking like, I am your gift.
Oh, well, then you just ruined my sweet sentiment.
I almost said that, but I liked yours better. I'll just edit my part out.
No, leave it. You need to leave that in. You know you will.
I am the greatest gift you ever gonna get. What was that? The Incredibles. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's The Incredibles.
Aneke and I were watching The Incredibles, and we loved it because Samuel Jackson's wife in it, yeah. Her name is Honey, and you never see her. She is on fleek. She is on fire.
She is always coming back with something.
All of her lines were so good. He's like, Honey, where's my suit?
What was the super suit one? That's what I was trying to remember.
Honey, where's my super suit? And she's like, where's my, like, what about my anniversary dinner? Yeah, there was something like that. And he was like, oh, I know what it is. He's like, but it's for the, she's like, I put it in the something. And he's like, but it's for the greater good. She's like, I am the greatest good you ever gonna get.
Which is so good.
And then he was like, but the city's being ruined. She's like, my anniversary dinner's being ruined.
I know. That is so good. Well, you are the greatest gift.
You are the greatest gift. You are the greatest gift. You are the greatest gift. You are the greatest gift. We are the greatest gift. If you haven't started, start. I'm also looking at you, girl. I know you got a lot on your plate. Queen Sugar.
Yeah, no, I need to watch it because the new season starting in July, so I need to catch
it.
Up.
Oh, it's so good. I don't know how it messed up on so many people's radar.
Because it's on OWN, and nobody watches OWN.
But you know what? Y'all got Hulu accounts. I know you do, so it's fire true. It up. Move I over will. Hand, Lady Tails. Get this
I'm
Queen
done
Sugar
with that.
Going on.
Y'all should be done with that right now, too. The season is over. It is now time to switch over to Queen Sugar.
It's so fucking good. And also, I have a retraction for the 2-year anniversary special. I have a retraction.
Oh,
Farmers,
what's that?
I said some questionable things to you several episodes ago, and I was very happy about this. And y'all work really hard, and thank you for producing all the food that you produce, especially to the black farmers. It is even that much harder for you.
I was just going to say, Queen Sugar showed you some black farmers, and you were probably like, okay.
I was like, I see you. I see it. Okay. Wow. It just humanized it. But again, the power of storytelling, right? Because now I am all about farmers, and especially because it's like, big corporations are just taking up all these lands, and especially, you know, black and Latinx farmers as well, who they deserve their land. Their land's getting taken up. It's a very hard, backbreaking work. And it took beautiful storytelling. Like Queen Sugar, they take you through so many amazing stories that you kind of knew, but you just don't really get to see being told in such a beautiful way. And it has this great way of there's drama, but if it was on Empire, it'd be 10,000 times over the top.
It's a quiet drama.
It's the right level. And your tissue boxes, because almost every episode gets me. I'm just like, oh my God.
I'm ready to watch this. I'm ready. I'm so ready.
So fucking good. In fact, you no longer look like Dawn from Danity Kane. You look like Rutina Wesley, who stars in that.
I don't think I look like her.
Well, my screen's kind of fuzzy, so.
I know. It's got... I'll take
and
it.
And I
she's
got
beautiful.
Rutina on the brain. And
she's
so
beautiful,
good.
And I'm glad she's doing something post True Blood.
And post, she had a one episode stint on The Arrow, and this is much better.
Okay.
She played Lady Cop on The Arrow. But Lady Cop is an actual real life DC superheroine.
Ooh, that's a terrible name. Lady Cop.
Well,
I'm glad that she moved on to Queen Sugar, because that's Me too. Prestige TV.
She did. She got it up. And congratulations to Beyonce and your baby. Beyonce and
two
Janet
babies.
Oh, shit. Well, they should have a play date with Janet's baby.
Janet don't care.
Yeah.
Janet's like, you know what?
She's like, whatever. I got my baby. She got what she wanted out of that marriage.
She did. She was.
She got to go to the get out of America for a bit. She was like, this is too crazy. Y'all harassing me.
I need a break.
I'm out.
Had her baby.
And she's like, okay, now I'm good.
And she's going to go back on tour.
She is with her baby. She's like, Jimmy, is that you? Jimmy. And I will, last thing I just want to say, if you ever watch any of those new videos that Janet does where she's like,
oh, we talked about this. We talked about this.
She's always laying down.
Yeah.
I think because it makes her face look more relaxed.
And also she's gained a bunch of weight. So she was like, that's what people do when you want to look thinner is you lay down. Because it relaxes you back.
Janet, how are you always laying down? This is to my fans.
And she's tired.
And she also told all her fans, she's like, I'm going through a divorce, but I just want to let y'all know I'm still here for you. Just some family stuff. She used to be telling us all the things. So
I didn't even know that there's these videos. This is how much you're a part of Rhythm Nation. It's because you missed out on Beyonce being huge, the most pregnant lady ever, and you're busy watching these soft whisper videos of Janet Jackson.
I need her to tell me when to. She was, and I will tell you this, and you can take this to your beehive, Aneke.
Okay.
You can take this to your beehive.
I'm taking it.
She was the original person to tell us to get into formation. She told us to get into a rhythm nation that was going to be in formation.
I am not denying that. Okay. Janet is a legend and started it. Beyonce is just continuing it.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, all right. I'm done. All right.
It's well, not a you war, heard it's a continuation.
First. The 2-year anniversary pass. Special. The baton has been... Janet will not want to appreciate that. I
no, she's still holding on to that.
That
baton. They're holding on to it together.
Yeah, you know what? They're running on into it together.
Yeah.
It is a rhythm nation in formation.
Ooh.
There it is. And that's the episode. Tweet there at us, Facebook us. You can
everything.
Find us.
I Minority Corner with
just
a
like
K.
That. Come
you
get at
drill.
Us. The Rhythm Nation information, you know this. 2-year anniversary. Happy anniversary, Aneke.
Happy anniversary.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.